So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen?
Amen.
As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, God wants you to be blessed. So wonderful what God's done for us. He's blessed us and gives us so much. And really, we belong with him. And if we just give our lives to him and listen to what his words are, we can be blessed.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I will keep searching for answers that aren't here to find.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise for all he's done for us. Our God is such an awesome God, such a mighty God, and he's here to save us. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. Father, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Let us take that word, Father. Let us take the words of this music into our hearts, because you are here for us. And really, we don't belong in this earth. We belong with you. All we have to do is follow your word. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what you've done for us. The words that you give us, allow them to come into our heart and remember them, especially when we're going through a bad time, Lord. Remember the blessings you promised to us. All we have to do is follow your word, Lord, because you really are an awesome and wonderful Savior who did so much for us, and we thank you for that. Lord, we ask a special blessing over the service, those that could not be here and those that are here, and also bring the lost. If there is anybody that's sick, be with them and heal their body. Lord, we ask a special blessing over the service, the pastor, and all that are here. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Before we continue this time of praise and worship, just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. You'll notice them on the back of your bulletin. We are asking anyone who helped with Vacation Bible School this year to fill out a VBS questionnaire. Those questionnaires are on the table in the fellowship hall, and so you can pick one of those up and then turn that in next Sunday or, you know, basically the subsequent Sundays. Also, please note of the small group Bible studies that take place here every Wednesday evening at 6:30 for the women and then 7 p.m. for the men. And friends, I'm here to tell you that I think you will be blessed if you partake in those Bible studies. You will learn, you will grow, and not only that, but you will be, you know, connected with brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go ahead and dismiss junior worship for those in kindergarten through fourth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you, and you can go with Joanna. And at this time, make note of the other announcements on the back of your bulletin. And at this time, let's turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
If you have a pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1501. We're going to be reading Matthew 5, verse 1 through 9. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." At this time, if the ushers could come forward for the offering.
Father, we brought to your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we are continuing or beginning a new series titled The Blessings of Following Jesus. Now, contrary to the messages that we hear in our culture, when you hear a title like that, the focus is typically upon the material blessings that God will give to you if you just come to Christ. If you're ever up late at night, you'll see the preachers or pastors, and they'll have these prayer cloths, and they'll say, hey, send in your money, and we'll mail you a prayer cloth, and this will be your anointed prayer cloth, and then you can ask God for whatever you want, and he surely will respond, and you will be blessed. Well, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was baptized, and you'll find that in Matthew chapter 3. He was taken into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy in chapter 4 of Matthew, and he begins his preaching ministry by speaking what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And you could find another rendition of this in the Gospel of Luke, and it contains in the Gospel of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. At the very beginning of it, friends, he speaks the Beatitudes. And if you were to write that word, Beatitude, on a piece of paper and write a line between B-E, the word be, and attitude, it's really what Jesus is wanting us to have and possess in our soul. He's basically saying, here are the attitudes that you need to have. This is the attitude that you need to possess. The interesting thing, and we're going to look at seven of these Beatitudes over the next 7 weeks, and this morning we're finding ourselves in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and we're looking at the first one. I want you to think of these Beatitudes as rungs of a ladder, because you can't go to the second one unless you acknowledge and accept and embrace the first one. It's like steps to a path. And the first Beatitude, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom in heaven. In this beatitude, you can see three different things. You can see the first statement, it's a past tense, blessed. It doesn't say you will be blessed or you might be blessed or you shall be blessed. It's not in the subjunctive case or the realm of possibility. It's in the past tense, meaning that you have been blessed in Christ Jesus if you accept this attitude of what he is going to speak in the next phrase. And the next phrase is, are the poor in spirit. Years ago, I worked downtown Youngstown, and I would walk down to Federal Plaza every morning, 8:30 in the morning. First week that I was down there, I'd walk, and I'd get approached by individuals, and they're panhandlers, they're vagrants, they're homeless, and they would ask for money for food. And in our world, we think being blessed means to have everything that we need. Sadly, you know, over the course of time, I became hardened to the situation, and it wasn't such a shocking, revolting thing that someone could actually, in our society, who has owned the most in the world has ever seen in material possessions, friends. And yet there's homeless. You see, when we think of blessings and material possessions, we miss what God wants us to see. And over the course of time, my heart became hardened, and I failed to see the people, and I didn't see who really was there, and I just saw an annoyance. That's rough. That's rough. We're going to see in this beatitude that Jesus says, you will be blessed if you acknowledge your spiritual condition and if you do something with it. You see, these aren't just simple proclamations. He's like, there, yours is the kingdom of heaven if you are poor in spirit. But what does it mean to be poor in spirit? The first thing is that to be poor in spirit, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. The Greek word tokos, it literally means to be a beggar, to be one. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the rich man's gate. You can check me on that on Luke chapter 16, verse 20. He was laying at his gate. And so Jesus is saying, blessed are the beggarly. Blessed are the ones who know that they are in need. Years ago, a friend of mine, Matt, and he and I, we would do ministry together and do Bible studies together. And one night we were in the Greasy Spoon, and it was a 24-hour diner. And someone comes in that Matt knew, and we began to share the gospel with him. Lo and behold, he received Jesus, and the guy looks at Matt and says, well, how come you shared that with me? And he looked at him and said, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. You see? Matt got it. He understood. When Jesus said, you are blessed if you acknowledge that you are poor in spirit, you are literally acknowledging that you have nothing to offer. You have nothing to contribute to your salvation. To be poor in spirit means that we literally ought to approach a holy God in the manner of saying, I've got nothing for you, Lord. You did it all. I can't do anything. I can't give you anything. I can't raise my merit or raise how worthy I am. You did it, oh God. I'm in such desperation here, O Christ, that I am so beggarly, that I am looking up at you, acknowledging that if you don't help me, O Jesus, then I am not going to be helped. You see, when we get to that point, when we acknowledge how much we have been blessed, we will be filled with God's love. We will be filled with His peace. We will acknowledge truly what God has done. I don't believe that the people in America acknowledge that. I don't. You see, we get sidetracked on so many different things. We pursue jobs and vocations, and we pursue houses and cars and all kinds of different things, and we set those as our pursuits, and it has nothing to do with true blessedness. To truly be blessed is to acknowledge what God has done. And it's not a merit or a circumstance or a situation that we live in or experience in this life. You see, there's some translations of the Bible that translate blessed as happy. The Greek word makarios, that's a wrong rendition of makarios because it's an inner being state of where you are at to be blessed. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. What matters is what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, Christ crucified. And when you acknowledge that, the last phrase then will come true. You see, Jesus says this. He says, yours will be the kingdom of heaven. It's not a future tense. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Before we get to that, I want to go to the next slide. We have to be people of action, friends. You see, Jesus in Matthew 10:40, he said, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me sent him who sent me. You see, to truly acknowledge that you are poor in spirit and truly acknowledge that you are blessed, it indicates an action. You see, sometimes I think we think of heaven as somewhere that we go. Sometimes I think of heaven that we think that this is something that happens when I die. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. I'm here to tell you to be blessed past tense, to acknowledge that blessing, to acknowledge the depth of what God through Christ has done for you, it means that you will do something with that blessing. It means that you will go forth and you will share with others. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. You see, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Next Sunday is Tables of Plenty across the street at St. Michael's. How can you be a blessing? How can you usher in God's kingdom into the here and the now? I'm here to tell you, you can go over there and you can grab a plate and you can look for the most lonely individual in that room and you can sit down aside from them, across from them, and you can absolutely be a blessing and usher into God's presence that individual. You see, Jesus calls you and me the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He calls us not to sit but to serve. He calls us to move. He calls us to do something with his blessing. And yet our world, it wants to conform us into being selfish and looking inward, so much so that we can't even see our brothers and sisters in Christ who are around the world who are being persecuted or maybe even a half a mile down the road. That's appalling. It's absolutely appalling. We're more concerned about what we have than what others are going through. We're more concerned about what's happening in these four walls and what's going on down the road. You see, that's not the heart of God, friends. It's not God's heart. If it was God's heart, it would never led Jesus to the cross. Jesus would have never died for you or for me. And if we are called, if we acknowledge how we are blessed, then we acknowledge of giving that blessing away. And yet we don't. We become spiritual hoarders. When we went to Mexico, you know, there were two gentlemen in a nursing home, and we took them out to the beach, the whole nursing home, and we fed them a meal. These two gentlemen were in wheelchairs, and they had colostomy bags, and and other things, and literally the care that they get down there isn't what we have up here. And so we took these two wheelchairs and put them up in the back of a pickup truck. And there was an individual from our team that comes up to me in front of them and says, here's some hand sanitizer. For once, I got it right, friends, because I saw people there, and it wasn't their condition. You know, when we are blessed and we are focused on giving that blessing away, it's not about us. It's about God. It's about Christ crucified. It's about people, souls. And when we are passionate about that, we will give that blessing away. We will share the love of God with them. We will speak to them on behalf of Jesus. We will do acts of service to them and for them, and we will minister of them. Until we get there, you nor I can ever really realize how blessed we are. We're just a sham, running through the motions. God hasn't blessed you or me with the blessings and the depths of what he has given to us for us to hoard it. He hasn't. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, how can they know unless they hear? How can they hear unless they go? How can they go unless they sent? Trinity United Methodist Church ought to be a sending church, ought to be a church that sends forth. And yet I'm fearful that we focus on, oh, we lost Ray, he's in Pemberville now. Oh, we lost Max, he's down the street now. Really? That's rough. What about God's kingdom? And it really speaks to me about the hearts of those people, of you and me in this congregation. And it breaks my heart. Because we're more concerned with us being blessed than we are those who are in desperate need. And what it tells me is this: we're not people of action, friends. We're not beggarly. We're prideful. We think we've arrived and we think we've got it all. And that's why we get angry. That's why we don't like what's going on, is because we focus on what we had and what was here before, whether it's 5 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago. When you focus on that, you're missing the whole intent of what God is calling you and me to do. You're focusing on the wrong thing, and you're going to turn into a pillar of salt like Lot's wife did, because you're going to get salty and not in the right way that Jesus says to be salt. You're going to get bitter, resentful. And when you get there, you aren't blessed. We all have a choice here this morning. To be people of action, it means, as the Gospel of James, or the book of James, not the Gospel. I don't know if I put that in the slide or not, but if you look in your bulletin, you'll see it, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but not has works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? You see, when the church follows Jesus, the world is blessed. When the church follows Jesus, the world is blessed, because the church that follows Jesus, that is pursuing him, that is chasing after the risen Christ, is blessing this world, is giving away the blessing that God has given to them. And you can look at it in the 12 steps. Share your strength, experience, and hope. Share those things. I'm just one who was thirsty and found a cup of cold, refreshing water, the living water, Jesus the Christ, incarnate God. And I'm telling people where they can find that too. See, the Beatitudes aren't these warm, fuzzy things. It's rough. If you don't get this one, if I don't get this one, you'll never get to the next step. You'll never get to the next rung. You will never move forward in your relationship with God, and you will find yourself in this sad, deceived state of being where you think that you are in Christ and you are in a relationship with him. And I'm here to tell you that if you know what God has truly done for you, you're going to want to tell it. You're going to want to share it. It's going to be your all in all. It's going to be what you're passionate about. And the scariest thing for me is to know that people can come to this church or any other church in America, and they can sit here week after week after week after week after week, and then they can pass away, and sorry. And Jesus himself will say, hey, I never knew you. And then the people, this is scriptural, friends, people will look at him and say, but I did all this, I did that, I did this. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, is what Jesus will say. That's rough. I don't want that to happen to any of you. None of you. I want every single person that comes through these doors to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. We've got to be beggarly. There are days I'll bow my head before God and I'll just be in tears. That is beggarly. That's repentance. Acknowledging that if it's not for Christ, I'm doomed. I'm done. I'm eternally separated from God and there's nothing I can do for it. But it's what do I do with that blessing? What do I do with that? Do I keep it to myself? Do I get scared? Do I say, I wish I could share this with this person? Or do I step out in faith and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to open my mouth because I know that I was lost and now I'm found. I know that I was blind, but now I see. I don't know anything else, but I know that much. That's the passion of God, friends. So let us get out of this crazy funk. And that's just what it is. It's a rut. Looking at what we had, what was, where things are at. Stop it. Look at what you have right now in Christ Jesus. And let's go from there. And let's not keep it to ourselves, but let's be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we do that by being people of action, by sharing our time with others, by praying for others, by bringing heaven to this earth, by reflecting the risen Christ, love incarnate, God embodied in the flesh. When we do those things, friends, people see God. And that's why we're here. That's God's purpose for you and for me. That's God's purpose so that these young ones will see, so that those who are not in a relationship with Jesus will be thirsty, that we can draw them to the risen Christ. That's why we are here. The last church, when I was working with the recovery ministry, one of the reasons every Thursday that it was the highlight of my week is because you couldn't keep their mouth shut. Started with one. Before the first meeting, I got a phone call. Hey, do you mind if three others come with me? Nope, not at all. Within a month, there were 16 to 20 men in this same room because you couldn't keep their mouths shut. And then I had people come into that Thursday night and they say, you know what? I'm going to tell you why I was here. Okay, why were you here? Well, I saw Josh and I saw Tim and I saw them come in the rooms. I was there before them and I'm still there. And I don't know what they have, but I want what they have. That is bringing the kingdom of heaven to this world. It's the contagious. It's the infectious love, the zeal, the joy of Christ our God. So my challenge is this: to acknowledge that you're blessed, to continually seek and strive, to be humble and beggarly in spirit, acknowledging that if it was not for Jesus who laid down his life for you and for me, we would be eternally headed for being eternally separated from God. But then don't keep it. For Jesus says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's present tense, friends. It's not yours will be the kingdom of heaven, or yours shall be the kingdom of heaven, or yours the kingdom of heaven might be. It's not any of that. It's yours is the kingdom of heaven here and now, today. Today is the day of salvation. And if you choose to walk in the kingdom of heaven, you will see things in a whole new light. You will see souls. You will see people who are thirsty, who are yearning for that deep, peace in their soul. You will see holding a door isn't just holding a door. You will see calling up someone for a cup of coffee and listening for a half an hour isn't just wasting your time. You will see giving to the offering or to Trinity Care or going to Tables of Plenty isn't just a waste of time. You will see your actions, your purpose as ushering in God's kingdom of heaven into the here and now. And friends, that's how the church is called to work. That's how God wants the church to work. It's not coming here on Sunday. Church happens out there more than it happens here. I think I'm done. I hope and I pray that you hear my heart, because I hear the rumblings and it breaks my heart. Let us truly acknowledge that we are blessed and do what God wants you and me to do. Get out of the negative, stop it, and give the blessing of Christ away. Because friends, only until then will you be more blessed. You hoard it for yourself, you'll be like the monkey in South America. You know how they catch monkeys down there? I'm going to tell you how they catch monkeys. They hollow out a coconut, and they tie that coconut around the base of a tree. And in that coconut, they make sure that the hole is just enough where the monkey's hand can fit in opened. It's a true story. They still catch them this way to this day. Then they put a little piece of fruit in that coconut. And then the monkey goes over to the coconut, and he slips his hand in there, and he grabs a hold of the fruit. And the interesting thing is when the monkey makes a fist, he can't pull his hand out. And he stays there until the next day. And you know what they do? They come and they capture the monkey. Some of us are that way with God's blessing. Some of us have hung on to it so much, we're not willing to let it go. And Jesus said, it is more blessed to give. Because as your hand is closed, God can't bless you anymore. If you open your hand, not only do you experience the freedom, not only do you experience what God wants you to do, but he can put more blessing in your hand. Some of us are hanging on to so much of what used to be and things that how they used to were and this and that and the other that we're just waiting to die right now because we are hanging on to it so much and we're stuck to a tree. Open up your hand. Let God get in there and experience the blessedness of the risen Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your life. We thank you, Jesus, for your love and your goodness. Father, help us to open our hands. Help us, O Jesus, to receive what you have for us. If our hands are clenched and closed, may you give us the courage to open them and to step out into the unknown. And may you deal with our fear. May your love permeate our being in such a manner that we can't contain it. May we give it away, Jesus. And may in doing so, may your kingdom of heaven be ushered into this world. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. For we know when we follow you, the world will be blessed. We praise you and honor you. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like ever before. Oh, my soul. Oh, I worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song.
those this morning, I hope and I pray that you and I would have the heart's desire to truly bless the Lord, to bless him by giving away his blessing, and may you receive more, because I know you will. Pushed down, pressed, filled up, and overshooken and, you know, overflowing. And friends, may you go forth and be the blessing to those you come across. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you experience the blessing of Christ. Go in peace. Amen.